gotta organize and make it happen, you heard? Justice and freedom, what you want? Let's get organized. We won't survive if we don't. Let's get organized. Power in numbers, come on. Let's get organized. Don't just be singing the song. Let's get organized. Justice and freedom, what you want? Let's get organized. We won't survive if we don't. Let's get organized. Power in numbers, come on. Let's get organized. Don't just be singing the song. Let's get organized.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jim Hightower, a national radio commentator, writer, and public speaker, twice elected Texas Agriculture Commissioner. He is a New York Times bestselling author of 7 books, including Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, and Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. He, along with 20 prominent Democrats, sent an open letter, How Democrats Can Get Back on Offense, to the Democratic congressional leadership, urging them to get back on offense by exposing the GOP as more extreme than mainstream and proposing a positive program of progressive patriotism. The letter is available at protectdemocracy.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Hightower.
Hey, great to be with you, Ian.
You, along with a number of prominent Democrats, Jim Hightower, have written this letter to the Democratic leadership, Michael Eric Dyson, James Galbraith, Jennifer Granholm, Gary Hart, and Ron Reagan, Robert Reich, and Elliot Spitzer, and among others. Before we get into the content of the letter, what's been the response from the Democratic officials?
Well, practically none, but we didn't really anticipate that, I have no doubt that they are reading it and kind of stunned that suddenly progressives are saying, wait a minute, we need to actually stand up and be Democrats, which is the essence of this letter. But the real response has been from the media itself. Yours is not the first call that I've taken on this, and generators of this letter were Gary Hart and Mark Green. And all sorts of good folks, our pal Stanley Scheinbaum right there in L.A. and Fred Harris out of, former populist senator out of Oklahoma. These folks, so it's a combination people who have been longtime activists, and then people who've been in and out of government. Derek Shearer also there in Los Angeles, and Norman Lear and other great progressives are finally beginning to say, we need to be speaking out together. All of us kind of, we make our points here and there, as I do on this great KPFK radio station on a regular basis. But we need to occasionally, at least, stand together and say we're headed in a bad direction here. Not the Republicans are headed. They've gone from right wing to right out of their minds. It's a loopiness that is astonishing. I'm just back here in Austin where you're talking with me today from Charlotte, where I was at the convention for Progressive Democrats of America, 21st Democrats, 21st Century Democrats, and a couple of other great groups there. So also speaking to the Texas delegation. By the by, there's a revival of strong progressive Democratic politics in this state, which will amaze a number of your listeners, I imagine. People are looking for some response to this Republican nutballism that we're getting. And it can't be just the same old namby-pamby. It really has to be a vision of what America can be and should be.
Well, the letter begins, the letter to Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Dick Durbin, Harry Reid, Senator Patty Murray, all the heads of the various Democratic congressional re-election committees and Senate re-election committees. How Democrats Can Get Back on Offense. The letter begins, Robert Frost once wrote that a liberal is someone who won't take his own side in a debate. Now, it's true, we've had some pretty dismal standard bearers. I'm thinking back of to Mondale and to Dukakis and others who I think have helped shape that kind of cliche as the wussy, feckless Democrat. I don't think Bill Clinton is in that category. He's speaking tonight, and certainly tomorrow night, I don't think Obama is a wuss.
I agree.
But still, that baggage does haunt the Democrats. And what do we need? I mean, it sounds like this, you know, we need macho progressives.
We need macho, yes, or you know, we need conviction. We need just a populist, you know, willingness to stand up for those. You know, too many of our Democrats are been as confused as goats on AstroTurf, you know, when it comes to standing up for the people they're supposed to represent. That, to me, is what we need. We need Democrats to be Democrats, essentially, as Harry Truman used to put it. And you know, you excluded Clinton and Obama. They certainly are not wusses. I agree with that. They're not John Kerry's and the Dukakis sort of softer models, but yet both of them have been, you know, overwhelmingly corporate Democrats. Well, that's not what the Democrat constituency actually is. The Democratic constituency is the anti-corporate. They are the people who've been knocked down by the. You know, we've gone from Ronald Reagan's trickle-down economics to the Koch brothers' tinkle-down economics, and people are aware of that. The young folks who can't get a job anywhere near commensurate with their educational level, much less pay commensurate with it. Older workers who been shut out entirely, unable to find a job, looking for 2, 3, even 4 years for a job, and unable to get much in the way of interviews, even. The middle class, generally, 90% of the people, seeing that their incomes have been knocked down over the last 30 years, but specifically over the last 3 and 4 years. So folks know, you know, even a dog knows the difference between being kicked and being stumbled over. We're being kicked, and people know that. And just saying, well, the Republicans are meanies, they're baddies, which they most certainly are, isn't going to mean that those folks are then going to say, okay, well, we're going to vote for you. We're going to go crazy. We're going to rally behind you. No, you have to give them some signal. Fly the flag of a little d Democratic politics again, that we're on their side and we're willing to take on those corporate powers in order to lift up the middle class majority, percolate up economics that restores America to the kind of democratic economics that we need to actually have prosperity in America. Actually, this letter quotes, it doesn't put it in quotes, but they use a quote that my father put forth many years ago. He was not a political scientist or even a political activist, but he's a small business guy, son of the Depression. But he used to say to me that everybody does better when everybody does better. That's what people are looking for. You know, we've got the few doing extremely well and everybody else doing worse. People are looking for the kind of common good economics again, where everybody does better.
Well, Jim Hightower, I'm actually perplexed as to why there is such passivity on the left in this country and why there's not the recognition that we are at a critical time. I know that the Democrats, when they run out of arguments, they always say the sky is falling because if you don't vote for us, there's going to be a bunch of crazies on the Supreme Court. Well, we know that we do have a bunch of crazies on the Supreme Court. But we also surely must recognize that our economy is becoming a corporate plutonomy and our democracy is being captured by an oligarchy. And we don't have a lot of time before the deal is done and our democracy is just an irrelevant kind of game show democracy and we're a bunch of serfs. Now, you mentioned the corporate takeover of the Democratic Party. Don't you think it's high time for both Clinton tonight and Obama tomorrow night to cut bait with corporate America and frame this guy they're running against as a tool of the corporations, which he clearly is? You know, I don't understand. You know, Clinton could actually go a long way to at least acknowledging the damage he did with getting rid of Glass-Steagall. And I think Obama could basically say, look, you know, I took a lot of money for them in 2008. Now they hate me. I mean, he's got nothing to lose, for God's sake.
I'm with you on that. I don't expect that to come from Clinton tonight. I think Obama has been doing some of this, and his willingness to take on the just exorbitant CEO pay, and to say that they've got to begin to pay a real chunk of taxes, not getting away with the Bush tax giveaway. So he's beginning to do some of it. I don't know what we'll hear tomorrow night. I hope, I'm with you, I hope it'll be a strong message that, yes, along the Franklin Roosevelt line, you know, Roosevelt was confronted by, I don't know, one of his aides or somebody who said that you're considered a class traitor, and they hate you. And Roosevelt said, I welcome their hatred. That is exactly the kind of attitude you have to have as a progressive if you're going to make any difference in political office. You have to be willing to piss off the economic powers, the moneyed interests. If you don't do that, no change happens. And the only way you can do that, to make that change, is to rally the people on the outside to come inside and to put the pressure on the legislators and the government, so that so that we get the kind of reforms to restructure Wall Street, to decentralize Wall Street, not to regulate it. They've got lawyers out to kazoo who are expert at getting around regulations. You need to take their power away. It would be nice to see a few of them in orange jumpsuits, but that aside, they certainly should not keep their jobs, the Wall Street barons that crashed our economy, and they should have their power taken away and that money decentralized into our independent banks, into our community banks, into our credit unions, and into local control of our money. Same thing on health care. You know, why did we put insurance companies back in charge of health care? Now, the Obamacare, as it's called, does a lot of good things, but it still has insurance companies right in the middle of it, along with the big pharma, the pharmaceutical giants, right in the middle of it. We need to take those powers out of it. That's the difference between populism and liberalism. Populism says restructure. Liberalism says, well, let's regulate. Let's have more regulations. Well, we've been regulating like crazy, and of course they find their ways around it. They find their ways to become cozy with the regulators themselves, and nothing changes. Only restructuring, only a populist approach is going to actually make changes, and that's what we at a grassroots level have been fighting for, and by the way, are having success at. We're not having success nationally, but in a lot of states and in a whole lot of cities and even neighborhoods, people are making changes. Think of the food economy and the huge change that has happened there in the last 15 years, certainly the last 30 years, of people taking charge of it, consumers and farmers. No government created the organic movement. No corporation created it. That was done by individual farmers and food artisans and consumers and just local folks getting together and saying, there's got to be a better way. And they teamed together and made a better way. The farmers markets, the direct selling to restaurants, the co-ops that sell into the international market. This is the kind of future that is a structural change that makes a long-term difference.
Well, it's in your letter that you, along with 20 other prominent Democrats, Jim Hightower, wrote to the Democratic leadership, urging them to, titled How Democrats Can Get Back on Offense. You point out that among the things that made Democrats exceptional is FDR's axiom that we pursue bold, persistent experimentation. And not only did FDR welcome the hatred of the oligarchs back in the day when they crashed the economy, he referred to them in kind of Revolutionary War terms as economic royalists. And that seems to be really where we're heading. You know, we're heading towards a kind of new, you know, it's not that the king is going to be across the Atlantic. You know, when you look at the Romneys, and particularly their Ann Romney's very sort of transparent pleas for compassion due to her illnesses and trying to paint herself as a real person, it just doesn't work. And particularly when you compare it to Michelle Obama, who seems to be genuine in the sense that she's, you know, trying to raise a family and is basically does care for people that she grew up with, and she didn't grow up with a silver spoon in her mouth.
Exactly. I just disagree with one thing. We're not headed toward a control by economic royalists. We're there. the Koch brothers and their gang of billionaires are now completely dominant in the politics of the Republican Party. And dominant in a lot of local races. I was with Marcy Kaptur last night. She was at an event that I attended with progressive Democrats. She's a member of Congress from Toledo, Ohio area. She got redistricted this time, faced a vicious fight with and is now facing that with money coming from Houston, Texas. That's all she knows. She doesn't know who it is. She doesn't know what the corporation is that is behind it. But $300,000 has already been spent in her congressional race against her from out of the blue. You know, well, this is economic royalism. These are like you know, mortar shots fired from beyond the fringe with corporate funders going after members of Congress who dare to stand up, because Marcy has been a terrific fighter against NAFTA and the trade scams the powers that be put forward. So, you know, we've got to recognize that we're already in this battle. Those people are doing that to us. And we have to say it. We have to name it as much as we can, specifically who is behind this, who is doing it, and expose it. People hate this, by the way. Just ordinary folks, you know, there's two or three major coalitions that are fighting to repeal that Citizen Coalition, that Citizen United abomination of a decision by this, those five thugs on the Supreme Court that mugged our democracy. With that edict that says that corporate corporations are people and that corporate money is speech. Of course, Ian, we in Texas know if a corporation was a person, we would have already executed at least one of them, and you know, we haven't done that, so I think a corporation is not a person. But nonetheless, they're acting as people, and they're acting as superior to the people who are supposed to rule this country. We're supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people. Yet we are, and this goes back to Mary Ellen Lees in the 1880s in the populist movements, when she said that we are a government of, by, and for Wall Street.
Well, you know, if these corporations are people, then let's have them pay income taxes like we have to pay.
There you go. Let's send them to war. I'd like to see that.
That's true.
Wouldn't you like Monsanto to have to go to Afghanistan?
Well, just... what do you think of the rising star from the Lone Star State who spoke last night, the Castro brother?
Certainly gave a good speech and ignited folks. Last night was a pretty good night. You know, I mean, you look back at that Republican convention in Tampa, and you know, there was nothing comparable to either Mayor Castro's speech or to Michelle Obama's speech. I think that they kind of put themselves on display as a the Republicans as a sort of self-aggrandizing, self-serving bunch of individuals. You know, there's Chris Christie giving their State of the Union speech. Pump, you know, he almost threw his arm out of joint, patting himself on the back. And it's a pretty big back that he's got there. But and I think we did show in the Democratic speeches last night. And I have no doubt that Obama will do a very, very good job on Thursday night. I don't know what to expect tonight with Bill Clinton, but I think we're showing. Well, one thing is going to happen tonight are the employees from Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's vulture capitalist firm, talking about what he did to them. That's going to be instructive. By the way, I think one of the best speeches last night was the Lilly Ledbetter speech.
Oh, yeah. She's
she
great.
Was dynamite.
Yeah.
Just laying it on the line with a great Alabama accent.
Exactly.
Just
yeah.
Sent a message out there. I think that was profound. So I think we got something going, but it's not enough to win an election. We have to have an agenda that actually takes on these corporate interests. And that's why I went to Charlotte, and the Progressive Democrats of America was there with John Conyers, with Representative McCarthy out of the Boston area, with Marcy Kaptur, with Keith Ellison, the chair of the Progressive Caucus in the Congress, with so many good representatives there. Now going to the progressive meetings, you know, so we're building, you know, we're not there yet, It's not all about Obama. We have to build incrementally, take steps. You know, my friend Willie Nelson put it like this: you know, the early bird might get the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese. So, you've got to recognize it's an accumulation, a continuum, and we keep adding strength. And with Tammy Baldwin running for the Senate out of Wisconsin and Elizabeth Warren over there in Massachusetts, we have other good, really excellent candidates. Dr. Gill running in for the Congress in Illinois, got a real shot at winning there, real good progressive fellow. We've got a lot of opportunity there to add to our strength. And as we add, then we begin to bend the Democrats to that FDR ideal.
Well, just in closing, Jim Hightower, do you think there's hope for the angry white man? I mean, I watch the way the cynical Ryan and Romneys are doing their dog whistles and throwing bones and stirring up racism and class resentment against the notion that there are a bunch of freeloaders out there on welfare, and that's what Obamacare's all about, is about your health care being diminished in order to pay for a bunch of freeloaders. The whole thing is really disgraceful. I despair at the white man in this country. Is there any way to bring him back to reality?
Of course, of course. And I don't despair at all, though I certainly am dismayed and disgusted by Romney and Ryan. Certainly Romney cannot be, he is just beyond the pale of his willingness to seek power at the expense of any belief that he ever once had. It's an embarrassment to see him out there pandering to this right-wing nutballism. But I will say I'm in a state of angry white men. I know angry white men. And the key to bringing them home is, first of all, don't disparage them. They're angry for a reason, and the reason is not that the black man or that the Mexican-American or the Asian-American is getting more than they are getting. The reason they're angry is because the plutocrats are shafting them. The plutocrats are knocking them down economically and destroying the opportunities for their children to move up. They know that, but we have to have a politics and a party that advances that side of it. And if we do, then they'll move in that direction. They'll recognize, wait a minute, now you're talking about me over here. If my kid is able to get health care at birth, then that's something that I believe in, that I know that they need. And if my kid is able to go to college, we're able to control the exorbitant costs of these, even the public universities, and if my kid is able to get a job with a good wage and a pension and a possibility of upward mobility, then that's what they're looking for. They're looking for exactly what FDR offered in the 1930s across the board, whether they're working stiffs, they're farmers, they're Main Street merchants, you know, it's the same thing. We can reach those people not by anything hokey, but by appealing directly to their self-interest.
Well, Jim Hightower, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Take care.
It's been a pleasure. Again, I've been speaking with Jim Hightower, national radio commentator, writer, and public speaker, twice elected Texas Agriculture Commissioner. He is a New York Times bestselling author of 7 books, including Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, and Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. He, along with 20 prominent Democrats, sent an open letter how Democrats can get back on offense to the Democratic congressional leadership, urging them to get back on offense by exposing the GOP as more extreme than mainstream and proposing a positive program of progressive patriotism. The letter is available at protectdemocracy.org. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the refugee crisis in Jordan.